This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, won't you peep the score? Sports Center E, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good morning to you and yours. February the 23rd, 2021. It is DCR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. It's a Tuesday. Little CMT today. Cuddle, marry, trash. We'll do that about 6:45 this morning. Mike Tenenbaum, who's already up and already retweeting things that are going out on the Twitter sphere, will join us at 7 o'clock this morning. We say good morning to the guys. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm doing well, Dave. How are you doing this Tuesday?
I'm doing really well. I feel energized. I feel motivated. I feel excited. Now, probably not as energized as our one Rick DiPietro, though. Correct, Rick?
Yeah, feeling good, Dave. Feeling real good. Islanders win. Hockey team wins. Duke, big win against Virginia the other day. I mean, it's all coming up roses.
Everybody getting wins against Virginia these days. Everybody.
I thought you were going to say Duke with a big win against Syracuse last night, but no, you had to take it there. So a couple of big pieces of news for you before we get started with a little bit of baseball here. So your hockey team won last night, correct?
Both teams, yep.
Now you say both teams. For some reason, you coached the JV team as well?
Yeah, we had JV big win in the first game, and then we had the varsity team won the second game. Yeah, it was awesome.
And
great.
Comfortably. This was a rout, yes?
Good win. Yeah, good win for the first game. Not a lot of practice time trying to figure out lines and everything else, but it was a good first one. It was nice to get everyone back. I mean, you can just see how, I mean, these kids, it's been a tough year on them to get them back and, like, just to have them with, you know, but especially the seniors. I mean, playing on their high school team, it's a big deal. And I forgot how much, I mean, you don't realize how much you miss it until you're finally back and coaching a game, but it was great.
Were you nervous? Were you anxious heading in?
Yeah. Oh, my God. You hear my voice right now. I could stop screaming. So Cassie tried to get me to wear glasses, too.
You win the game 7-1, hammer the opposition, and you were still screaming your head off during the game?
Well, yeah. I mean, you got time, all the different things. I mean, where to move the puck, you know, when to change. I didn't like how we finished. I mean, we were 7-0 going into like the last minute and 30. We gave up a late one, which I mean, as a former goalie, I mean, you gotta seal the deal with the shutout. So things to work on. Good coaching points, David. You don't always... Sometimes it's good when it's not perfect.
No, I understand that, but I'm wondering, Chris, why there has to be screaming when you're leading 7-0 into the third period.
Because, Dave, it's about the process. It's about making sure that the guys stay committed to what Rick is trying to teach them, the fundamentals, the final points of the game. That's why.
Okay.
Yeah. This is what we're talking about, Dave. This is what we're talking about.
That's fine.
Well, Rico, he doesn't understand. He never played high-level sports.
Good point.
Well, that's not true. That's not true. I could have played college tennis easily.
Well, except you were banned from tennis because you hit an 8-year-old in the face with your racket.
I was not banned. It was frowned upon at the time.
It was a
different time, a different era.
So why didn't you play college tennis, Dave?
I had enough. It's a lot.
Well, okay, but doesn't that mean that you didn't play high-level sports?
Well, what do you consider high-level? I mean, I
would say college and above, yeah.
Okay, all right, then I guess I didn't play high-level sports. Yeah, but yeah. I could have.
Okay.
I could have.
But you didn't.
I did not. That is correct. And another piece of news for Rick. The blue check mark is back. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Very exciting news.
Thank you. I'm telling you, it was a big day. I got home after the hockey games.
Do you think the throttling win had anything to do with the receipt of the blue check mark in return?
No, absolutely not. No, I think it was actually me pretending like I didn't want it. And now all of a sudden, like, you know what? I'm good. I'm fine. No big deal. Or maybe it was just that I actually did what they told me to do and was update the security. The security on the account. I got a beautiful email, though. We fixed your problem. All set. Blue check mark is back.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Nice.
How quickly? So at what point did you notice that you received the blue check mark back?
Not until I got the email.
So you got the email. Now, how quickly after receiving the email, and I'm sure the first thing you did was check to make sure it was in fact back, how quickly before you told somebody, I got it back?
I didn't tell anybody. It's too late.
Come on.
Well, everyone was asleep. I didn't get the email till like, I mean, the email, actually, I'm looking at it right now. God, I got it at 7, but I didn't get home from the game until around 8, and then I had to go through the cleansing process. We had to take the clothes off, shower, and everything else. By the time I got to bed, everyone was sleeping. No one could tell.
You didn't wake up Cassie and be like, Cassie, listen, great news. She's like, not now. I'm tired. No. The blue check mark is back.
No, I couldn't do it. She was the poor thing with the baby up. I mean, she was sound asleep. And then, I mean, she did try to send me to the game to coach with, like, some fog-free, like, it looked like racquetball glasses. I couldn't do it. There was no way I could get in front of the team and give a motivational speech with these things on. I couldn't do it.
Now, is she of the mindset that you wore the motivational glasses or that you didn't?
Well, here's the thing. I told her I was going to wear them. Uh-huh. And then when I came home, hoping that she was still up, I had them on. And little did I realize that when I did speak to her, the game was being live streamed. So I said, those glasses weren't that bad. They didn't fog up at all. She goes, oh, really? You wore them? I said, yeah, they were great.
Don't you find it's better just to not lie? Just because they know everything anyway. Just don't lie.
That's the one piece of advice I will give, Dave. Happy marriage. Like, just marriage in general. Like, the wife has this extra sense that she develops where the second you try to tell, like, they know you can't do anything without them knowing.
No.
Like, when I used to take... Here's a perfect example. So, I mean, Canty, when you're revved up after a game, like you got, like, especially a big win, right? Or even a bad loss, it's so hard to get to sleep. And if you're playing the next night, you got to go to sleep. So I would, you know, occasionally take an Ambien. And for some reason, every time I took an Ambien, I'd get a little frisky. I'm going to be honest. Like, just when you're about to hit that wall where you're going to sleep, like, I got a little frisky.
But so that seems like that's the perfect formula to shut it down, though.
Well, yeah, right.
Little sexy time and Ambien.
So Cassie finally became aware of what was going on with the whole Ambien situation. And then, like, I couldn't even take... The second I would go to put an Ambien in my mouth in another room, I would hear, are you taking an Ambien? I was like, how do you know I just took an Ambien? You couldn't just know that. She knew it.
They know everything.
Everything.
So here's another word. So we got popcorn, we got mum, and now we got room. Also, say room again.
Room?
Room.
Room?
Room.
Yeah, I got a weird accent. I really do.
Yeah, you do.
It's like a muddish, like Boston, Canadian. It's a weird accent.
Yeah, it's all over the place. Yeah. You're like a mutt.
Midwestern there. Yeah. Yeah.
You're like a mutt. All right, so a lot for us to do today. Like we mentioned, CMT coming your way at 6:45. Mike Tenenbaum, 7 o'clock. A lot of conversation before that. We'll get to the Panarin story, which I thought was a joke yesterday when I saw it. I took a nap. I woke up, and I saw Larry Brooks was reporting this. I was like, well, this can't be true. This is fake, and amazingly enough, it is not. So we'll get there in a couple minutes as well. Knicks and Nets, certainly. Knicks with a big game at the Garden tonight. Fans are back at the Garden tonight, which we can't wait for. But let's start with the Yankees and the pitching staff. And already, I mean, we are moments into the start of spring, and already the Yankees suffering an injury. Clark Schmidt is going to be shut down for about a month, it sounds like, Chris.
Yeah, it's not the news that you want to hear as a Yankees fan. I mean, the fact that he's got a strain in his elbow this early in the spring training. But from all the reports, there's no damage to his UCL. They're going to shut him down for about a month, and they'll see where he's at that point. But he was somebody that figured to be in the mix as a potential answer for that fifth spot in the rotation. And so now you're taking away, you know, a potential avenue that you have to solidify the rotation. I mean, I still think you got, you know, some good guys that you're going to take a look at. Davey Garcia is going to be in there. You know, you'll see what happens with some of the other younger prospects, see if any of those guys can elevate. But, I still feel solid about the starting pitching and all the arms that Aaron Boone has. But, I mean, not having Clark Schmidt as a part of that group that's competing, I feel like that's a bit of a blow.
Well, because you like what you've seen from him. I mean, he's got good stuff. And once you get past Gerrit Cole, I mean, there's a lot of hope, but there's a lot of question marks. And I think when you hear Aaron Boone talk, he's leaning on the fact that you do have depth. You have a lot of arms, which you're going to need coming off a 60-game season. But, you know, you're just hoping a couple of those guys step up and hit. And he was one of those guys that you were hoping could step up and fill one of those spots.
Yes, and certainly you're upset about that news. And I know they say a month, but we've seen before where a month turns into two, into three, and God knows what that turns into. And to have that on, you know, like the first or second day of training is is not good news. And you're right, though. I mean, the Yankees are, and this is what's going to be a success for them this season. They need the Klubers. They need the Montgomerys. They need the Garcias, right? They need the Schmidts when he comes back healthy. They need some of those guys, the Taillons, to step up. Because if they don't step up, they're probably not going to achieve what they're looking to achieve this season.
Yeah, but you know what it is, and Chris is the Yankees fan. It's more of the same with the New York Yankees over the last couple of years. One of the things we always point to with the Yankees is, you know, on paper, everyone healthy, they look great. Unfortunately for the Yankees, they haven't been able to stay healthy. And it was like, okay, maybe, you know, we have, you know, this is the year where we're going to avoid the injuries and we're going to finally stay healthy and have it this early in spring in camp to have someone go down already. I mean, that sucks if you're a Yankees fan, because that's the last thing you want to deal with. You're trying to win a World Series and have every single year where, I mean, it's big names going out of the lineup. At a certain point, it's like enough is enough. I mean, this has got to change at some point in just this early on to have this happen. It's not a great sign.
It certainly isn't. And he was a guy that you thought was going to be a back end of the rotation guy. And let's take a listen to Aaron Boone. Here is the update. And it's not terribly negative, but still, it's not positive. And here's the update on Clark Schmidt.
He came out of his bullpen the night after he threw his bullpen, and he's got a common extensor strain. It's on the other side of the elbow, which I think in the big picture is a good thing. He's had an MRI. His ligament, his Tommy John, is intact and fine. But he is going to be shut down for a few weeks and just kind of going through range of motion things and making sure he's symptom free before he starts throwing again.
So that's certainly not great news. I mean, I know it doesn't sound like he's painting a picture where it's going to be an extended period of time, but you can't feel good to sit here on February 23rd and already have a piece that you're counting on be banged up to start spring training.
Yeah, I mean, it's an opportunity that's missed, right? I mean, for Clark Schmidt, he's coming into this situation. It's a lot of show and prove. He's had some flashes in the past. But, I mean, spring training gives you an opportunity to build that trust with your manager, like to know that you're capable of being able to go out there and do the job. And now he's missing that opportunity for a month. And so once we get to the regular season, I mean, it's a matter of, do you trust him enough to be one of those guys that you can depend on, give the ball every fifth day, and know that he's capable of going out there and giving you five or six quality innings? Like, that's the thing that you just don't know. That's a question mark that could have, you know, that spring training could have gone a ways to being able to answer. I know it's not the same as the regular season, but again, you just want to see him trending toward being a guy that you can rely on in the regular season, and this injury all but takes away that opportunity.
So let me pose this question now to both of you. Obviously, Cole, far and away, is the one that you trust the most. Who do you trust second most? Is it Montgomery right now heading into the season?
Is it Montgomery? I mean, well, here's the thing. I mean, what I trust the most, and I think what the Yankees are leaning on and what they are hoping happens and think is going to happen, is that from all the reports, because Corey Kluber has rehabbed with the Yankees, with the Yankees, whatever you want to call them. I mean, he's had nothing but great things to say about how Corey Kluber looks, is that they're expecting him to be, you know, to look like maybe not vintage Corey Kluber, but a version of Corey Kluber to jump in behind Gerrit Cole. And then Jameson Taillon, who, I mean, again, you're talking about two guys. I mean,
Kluber. Big risk, though.
That's a hell of a question, Dave. That really is a hell of a question. It is, because I don't know. I don't know. I mean... You would want to say Montgomery based on what we saw him do in the postseason last year. I mean, but I just don't know. I don't know that I trust him to be a frontline guy. You know, I like him more as a fourth or fifth starter, and I
sure.
think that's the ideal role that Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman will have for him. But I mean, the health of the other guys might not allow you to do that. You know, if Kluber's not healthy, if he can't get through the regular season, Taillon, if he can't get through the regular season, then you're talking about Jordan Montgomery having to be bumped up in your rotation, and I don't know that that's the best thing for him or the club.
Well, you're going to need all these arms, though. I mean, that's the reality of this upcoming season. You're playing a full 162.
Correct.
I mean, the amount of innings these guys pitched last year, and especially now you got young arms, too. There's only so many innings that these guys are going to be able to pitch.
That's right.
So you're going to need all these arms, and have one go down this early and be shut down. It's not what you want, but again, it's going to put. I mean, this is why, you know, Domingo Germán is still on this team. He's going to be crucial.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I think I'm a bad guy. I think it hit at 5:20 on Tuesday, February 23rd. I think I could really be a bad guy. I'm watching highlights. I didn't even know who won the game, Oklahoma State and Texas Tech, and Oklahoma State won. He said, well, how does that make you a bad guy? Well, it's a great question. Because Mac McClung, who transferred out of Georgetown, had a chance at the game-tying three in the waning seconds of the matchup. He missed it terribly, and my initial thought is, that's right, take that. I'm glad you missed the shot.
Yeah, I don't think bad guy. I think you're a fan.
Yeah, you're a sports fan scorned. Guy left your school, Dave.
So not bad guy.
Not bad guy.
That's just a sports fan, baby.
Yeah, you're not a bad guy.
Okay, all right, I'll take that.
You're all right.
Because the second half, I was like, oh my god. I mean, I'm very, very hold a grudge terribly though when it comes to these athletes.
Well, it's like a New York Giant. If he decided that he was going to go sign with the Philadelphia Eagles or the Dallas Cowboys, you would feel a way.
Dead to me.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand why you laugh.
Just how quickly you say it. Just dead to me.
Dead to me.
Yeah, Dave probably feels a way about Landon Collins.
Not as strongly, because I think he wanted to stay with the Giants, and they didn't want him more.
But he plays for a division rival, Dave.
Well, I don't root for him now.
Okay.
That's for sure. Let me be frank. If you came to the Giants, were drafted by the Giants out of school, played with the Giants, and left for the Cowboys like you did, you'd be dead to me.
I'd be dead to you.
Dead to me.
But not Landon Collins.
Well, because I think he wanted to stay.
But he didn't stay, Dave.
Well, I don't
but listen to what he's saying, though, Chris. But listen to what he's saying. This is what Dave just verbalized is the fundamental issue with the fan and player empowerment. Is he's okay with Landon Collins leaving because Landon Collins wanted to stay.
Because the Giants didn't give him the opportunity.
That's right.
Dave Gettleman showed him the door.
Okay. That's right.
Exactly right.
Okay.
But if you're a player that doesn't like his situation and you want out, now you're the bad guy. That's how in Dave's mind it works.
Okay.
I'm not alone.
No, I'm not saying you're alone. It's just interesting how your mind works and what players you'll give a pass versus the guys you won't.
Yeah, I don't think it makes any sense.
Okay.
I think when it comes to sports fandom, it's not all that rational, to be honest with you.
Well, fan is short for fanatic. It's not a whole lot of
craziness.
Yeah, it's not a whole lot of reason in there.
There certainly isn't. There certainly isn't.
You're not alone. I guarantee what you just said is how most fans feel.
So you think that resonates with a lot of people?
Yeah, I mean, this is part of the conversation we've been having about, James Harden forcing his way out or Deshaun Watson wanting a trade out of Houston. Is as a fan, when it's the player that decides he wants out, now all of a sudden that player is dead to the fan.
If I was a Chargers fan, I would detest Eli Manning. Detest him.
Exactly right. And it worked. I mean, that was in his best interest. But you, the fan, how come you get... how come you get to choose where you want to go? Most of us don't... I mean, I was lucky because, I came from, from Boston and moved to here. So I got to pick. Still scratch my head the teams that I picked. But I picked the teams I wanted to root for. But, if I'm Ben or Alex, it was pretty much... it's known.
It's predetermined, right.
Exactly. I'm
going to
be a Giants
to root for.
So now I have to live with that. So why do you get to choose and I didn't? Why do I have to be loyal and you don't? Because I'm not going as a fan. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay through the good times and the bad times.
That's
right. Now all of a sudden, because we're in a lull, you want to leave, and I'm going to stay. There's a resentment there.
Yeah. And I understand why there is.
Yeah, I don't disagree. But, I mean, the reality is that if you put yourself in that same situation and you were the athlete on the other side of it,
yeah, I'm sure I'd feel differently. I'm sure I would. So let me ask you this, and I've meant to ask you this for a while now. You didn't have an allegiance to a baseball team or a hockey team or a football team until you moved to New York in your 20s?
No. No, I was not a fan of teams because I never stayed in one place. Like, I was born in Maine. I went back to...
But, I mean, you're from Massachusetts. I'd figure you'd be a Red Sox fan. Like, I figure that's part of your right.
No, I like players. Like, when I was in Chicago, I loved Walter Payton. Like, I got awesome pictures of me all dressed up in the Walter Payton jersey, the helmet, the shoulder pads, everything else. And then when I eventually moved to Boston, it was just, for some reason, I was obsessed with Jody Reed. who played for the Red Sox.
You were the one, huh?
I love Jordy Reed.
Jordy Reed.
Cool, because I was a lefty. But think about it. I'm a lefty that loves baseball. And I was, like, you know, playing, you know, being a goalie, like, I love playing defense in baseball. And I always wanted to play middle infield. And they would never, because I was a lefty, let me play middle infield. It was either first base, pitching, or center field. So I love watching Jordy Reed play. So anytime we played stickball or backyard baseball, I was always, you know, I was like covering second. Like I was always turning double plays. Like I was always Jordy Reed. And then, of course, I mean, Ken Griffey Jr., Deion, like I just like players. I never really fell in love with a team.
Which one doesn't belong and why, Chris? Ken Griffey Jr., Deion Sanders, and Jody Reed.
Jody Reed.
Very strange. Yeah.
I don't know why I was obsessed with Jody Reed. That's a great question.
Yeah, it's great. I bet you if you asked 100 people that listen to the show that are real sports fans, who is Jody Reed? Half of them would say they have absolutely no idea.
But you know who he is. That's why I
brought
him up.
I know who he is. Was he Cubs, Red Sox, right? Middle infielder?
Oh, yeah. He's a second baseman. Dude, I was so obsessed with baseball, too, back in the day. I almost cut my finger off because I was... Maybe
just out of loyalty to baseball, you said,
well,
let me cut my finger?
No.
Ronnie Lott?
No, because, I was like, Dad, just cut it off. I don't need it. Just cut it off. No, because, like, I was obsessed with the sport, and then, you know, watching guys play, like, in Little League, you got to use an aluminum bat, right? But for, like, I was like, I want to be like the guys I watch play Major League Baseball. So, of course, I had to go get, like, my dad get me a wooden bat. So the wooden bat wasn't good enough. I needed to, like, and I also loved the natural. I needed to carve something into the wooden bat.
What? Oh, God.
So I had a Swiss Army knife out, and I'm carving something. I was carving my number at the time into the knob of the bat, not realizing that the Swiss Army knife doesn't have a lock on it. So as I'm carving it, the knife shuts closed on my finger.
Ouch.
Like, cut
Ouch.
Half of my middle finger off. It was, like, just hanging off. I had to get it sewn back on.
Oh, that's
terrible. Commitment. That's commitment,
baby.
Yeah,
no, it is.
All for Jody Reed.
All for the great Jody Reed. What do you think's happened to him? We should look him up. Well, let's go to Johnny.
We should get him on the show. I'll try to get Jody Reed on the show.
You should. Make that your pet project. Now that you have the blue check mark, I think that kind of stuff is easier for you. Johnny in Stony Brook. Johnny, you're first up
hey,
good
guys.
Morning on 98.7.
Can you hear me? Because I don't hear you at all.
You don't hear us?
Can you hear me now?
Uh-oh.
What's going on? Jody Reed. Let's look at his baseball reference.
Baseball.
See why I loved him.
What do you think? He hit .263 in his major league career?
Jody Reed, his best year.
Yeah.
His best year, he had 1988 season at .293.
Oh.
Nice season. .288, .289. He was a lifetime 11 years, .270.
All right. So there you have it.
Yeah.
It's a good run.
That is a run. All right, let's go. Let's try him again. Johnny in Stony Brook. Go ahead, Johnny.
Hey, guys. So just wanted to chime in about what you were saying, Dave, in terms of players leaving your team with John Tavares as the prime example of being a big Islanders fan here.
So you detest John Tavares?
They hate him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we could have got a huge haul in return. He led us to believe that he's going to re-sign again in the offseason, and then he says, peace.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough
savage
one. That's one of those.
Move.
Yeah, it was a savage move, but I know for a fact that he was torn up. Like, he didn't know till the very end.
That don't make Islanders fans feel any better.
No,
though.
I know. Listen, I know. And they should have. I mean, it should have been, listen, either you sign this extension, like, either you commit to signing with us.
That's right.
Or we're going to move you at the deadline.
But wasn't that happened. Kind of the Islanders' misstep? Like, he's completely torn. If you want to stay here, here's the extension. If not, we're going to trade you.
But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing, though, Chris, before you, just sorry to cut you off. The one thing that happens now, Dave, is if you trade him, now all of a sudden you don't have the luxury of the extra year. So that was part of the selling point, was even if you thought, like, you know, a team like Toronto, where he's from, is going to be one of your competitors, you know, he's the captain of your team, he's loyal, and oh, by the way, we can give you that extra year, that's what would push him over the edge.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. That has to be a part of it. But also in that equation, you gotta factor this part of it in too. I mean, you think about it. If you're the organization, you want to give the player every opportunity to make his mind up that he wants to commit there long term. And by preemptively dealing him, I mean, you take away that potential possibility that he would have resigned with you. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So
you want to show some loyalty too. And you needed him. I mean, he's your best player. You know, and you want to also be like, hey, this is how much we love you, is that we're willing to give you the time to make up your mind.
I guess. But you got spurned, though.
No, you're right. And here's the thing, though, too. If I'm John Tavares, I mean, if there was a a possibility at all. Because he wanted his cake and eat it too. He wanted to have the choice of, okay, I'll get the extra year with the Islanders if I decide to stay, or, you know, I'll go to Toronto where I'm from. Which was, I mean, that had, you know, his wife was interested in staying in Toronto and everything else. I mean, they're starting a family. It's easier when you have family around to, you know, have, you know, when you're dealing with your first baby and everything else. But it's, I mean, I was always of the opinion, like, why not put yourself in the spot where you all of a sudden get traded now to a team that's competing for a championship and give yourself a run at a championship.
And then you can always come back to the Islanders.
Exactly right. And then when the season's over, all of a sudden you can make up. Or maybe you like where you're, I mean, maybe you go to a team and you like where you're at with this new team. Just experience something new just to know, okay, maybe.
Right.
Because everyone always thinks the grass is always greener, right? So if now you go to a well-run organization that's competing for a championship and see how that's run, because all you've never known is the Islanders, and it's, you know, head and shoulders above the Islanders, then that makes your decision easy. I'm not. Why would I resign
with
the Islanders?
But at least the Islanders got something for you in return that they don't have to be there holding the bag.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
The great Jody Reed led the American League in doubles with 45 and was this close to winning the MVP. He finished 18th in MVP voting
this year. This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right, a real baseball player, Dave.
That's a baseball player.
Gap to gap. Keep the action moving. That's what we need more. I mean, we need more of that in baseball now. I need more action.
We are missing the likes of Jody Reed in Major League Baseball today. I think that's very accurate. Let's go. We'll get to this Panarin story in a moment. Let's go to Mike in East Northport. Mike, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Listen to you every morning. Love you. Love listening to you. You guys were talking about, Chris said that Tavares was savage for leaving the Islanders. What's the difference there between Deshaun Watson taking the heat and not Tavares?
I mean, he's going into free agency, so there's a little bit of a difference. But, I mean, I guess when I focus on it, it's about being supported properly. And Deshaun Watson just got to the point where he no longer felt like he could trust the organization to put the pieces around him to maximize his prime years.
I understand that. I guess the problem I have with the players doing this is, I guess I'm old school as far as contracts go. It's like you sign a contract, you stay to the contract. I know I signed a contract at work and I have to like stick to it.
You can't compare your job to Deshaun Watson's job. You can't compare your job to his job. You just can't.
I'm not comparing jobs. I'm just saying just contract in general. So that's the holding point I have.
I get where you're coming from with contracts, but there are always opportunities to get out of contracts. Like, that happens. Like, people get out of contracts. People leave jobs. People leave business relationships. It happens. So, I mean, every contract, you're saying it's a binding agreement, but there are always ways to get out of contracts. Like, that happens. So, I mean, I think that we've got to get past the whole, well, he signed a contract, and he should stick to the contract. Like, we've got to move past that. Clearly, Deshaun got to a point where he no longer trusts the organization, and I think that's the biggest thing. If you're in business with somebody and you no longer trust your business partner, you probably want to get out of that relationship, and that's exactly where Watson is.
I agree with Watson there, but there's other players that they've sort of forced their way out, like sort of like Harden did a little bit. So it's like, that seems a little shady to me.
I mean, how it was handled is obviously different.
Yes.
I mean, how James Harden chose to do it, and maybe that was his only option, because I mean, when the team comes out and says we're willing to take this as long as we seem fit, and it could get uncomfortable, and he's like, well, I don't want to be here for that. So he, out of shape, he turned himself into a problem in the locker room where, I mean, his teammates are calling him out, so they had to move him. He forced their hand. But as far as the John Tavares situation, the Deshaun Watson situation, when Houston decides to actually pick up the phone and listen to offers, they're going to get a humongous amount of compensation back for Deshaun Watson. The Tavares situation, because he played it out, the Islanders didn't get anything in return for John Tavares for losing him. They got that's what aggravated Islanders fans.
But Rico, correct me if I'm wrong, though. The Islanders were a consideration for Tavares, right? Like, he thought about staying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the difference. Like, Deshaun Watson is all set with being quarterback of the Houston Texans. There's no chance that he's their starting quarterback opening day 2021.
They better get this deal done before the draft.
Well, Dave, would it surprise you if they don't?
Nothing would surprise me with them right now.
As dysfunctional as the Texans are?
No.
So,
but how dumb would you have to be if he's going to take the tact of I'm not going to stay there and I'm not going to play there, and you can actually get, I mean, we talked about the deals yesterday, six players and picks, or seven players and picks, and Christian McCaffrey and Robbie Anderson and the eighth overall pick. If you can get all that and you have the opportunity to turn the page in April, and you don't do it, and now you're going to have this thing turn ugly for months and months and months, and then God knows how it's going to wind up ending. That would be a terrible job by Houston if that's what happens.
I agree with you, Dave. I don't think he'll be more valuable than he is right now in the time leading up to the draft. Like, once we get on the other side of the draft, I think the value actually changes. Now, there'll still be a huge market just because he's that damn good. But, I mean, in terms of being able to maximize the haul and return, I think you got to do it before the draft.
Yeah, leverage-wise, I mean, again, at certain points, like, teams are going to decide, wait, this Deshaun Watson thing's not going to happen for us, so we have to move on and find a different option. So all of a sudden, now you start eliminating options to where you can trade him. You know, you don't have nearly as much leverage.
That's right. You got to do it before the draft. All right, well, we'll get to the NFL a little bit. Mike Tenenbaum, 7 o'clock this morning, of course, here on 98.7 ESPN. This Artemi Panarin story is wild. I can't believe it's true, but he's now taken a leave of absence for the Rangers, who completely, by the way, stand by their superstar player. But you look at it from a couple different angles. They're playing good hockey. He's, in my mind, clearly the best player on the team, and now he's not going to be there. And now you have this is a huge story, the fact that there's an accusation that he beat up a woman 10 years ago. So there's so many different angles to take this from, Rick.
Yeah, I mean, they vehemently deny it. And, I mean, this is, for him, this is the right thing to do, is, you know, step away, get your affairs in order. I mean, the league will investigate this. As far as, you know, is being reported right now, this was something that was a fabricated story about something that happened in 2011. And it seems to be that, you know, this coach is trying to curry favor with the Russian Hockey Federation, which is closely connected to Putin. And Panarin's been outspoken against Putin, which isn't necessarily something that I would be doing. That's just me. But, I mean, I'm sure, and he's still got family over in Russia. So this is unfortunately for the Rangers, because he's your best player. It stinks that he's not going to be with the team, but this is something that he needs to take a step back and get straightened out.
When I heard this story yesterday, Rico, it reminded me of the story you told us about the guy that was in the KHL and he wasn't playing well.
Oh, yeah.
They drove him out to the woods and there was an empty grave that was dug, and he said, you better start playing better. I had that in my mind. Like, things work different on that side of the street. And it's just like, it's amazing that they would go to such lengths to discredit a player who was vocal and outward with his criticism about the current regime that's running the country. Like, it's wild to me that you would have a state manufacture a story to this level just to, I guess, I mean, discredit or a player that's in another country. It's unbelievable to think that they would go to such lengths.
Well,
it really
listen,
is.
He spoke against the most important figure in that country, right? He went out. He's famous. Everyone knows him there. I'm sure there's a lot of people that like him there and probably a lot of people that don't now at this point. Mm-hmm. So he makes a statement of he's against Putin. And now Putin, and we've seen things that he's done in the past, is obviously upset to the point that he's willing to take whatever measures he needs to take to you know, ruin the good name of Artemi Panarin. And I guess the Rangers have done their due diligence and they stand by him. But now Panarin's going to take a leave and try to sort things out. But it's a terrible story.
Well, it's scary to think that the government would go to such lengths to attack an individual just because they have opposing viewpoints on how things are run over there. You know what I mean? It makes you grateful and thankful that you live in the country that you do, where you have the freedom of speech and you don't have to worry about the government making up stories in order to undermine your position. Like, I mean, think about it, Dave. I mean, if you have something critical to say about a political figure, you can say it in this country without fear of retribution. I mean, Panarin's over here. He's got to worry about what's going to happen to his family in Russia. I mean, I couldn't imagine what this guy is going through right now, like the mental anguish that he's got to be experiencing just because there's so much uncertainty. If they'll make up a story about him, a guy that's thousands of miles away because of his criticism of the current leader of that country, think about what that government would be capable of doing.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of, I mean, it's obviously not the same thing, but you remember when Enes Kanter was here and what he was dealing with?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, this is out of nowhere, man. This is something that, was allegedly, I mean, in 2011. In
right, from, 10 years ago we're talking about now.
Yeah, I mean, and from all reports, too, I mean, as far as the hotel that it was supposed to have happened at, they've said no incident happened. His teammates, nothing happened. So, I mean, just to have this, like a coach, just apparently from what I'm reading, on his own decide, you know what, this will get me in good. I'm going to completely make up a story about Panarin that is going to sully his name and force him now to miss games and everything else until he can, you know, obviously prove to the NHL and everyone else that this is a complete fabrication.
But you know what? They win. I mean, this coach wins right now.
Yep.
Because he makes up this, and you assume makes up this story, and there's no reason to think that it's not made up the way the Rangers defended him and everyone that's come out in his defense. They make up a story, and this guy is forced from playing in the National Hockey League with the Rangers. I mean, they win. This coach, Putin, they win right now.
But the NHL has no choice, Dave. It's most likely, from what you're reading, a lie and a made-up story. But the details of the story, I mean, it's so bad that, I mean, you have to make sure that it's 100% made up before, I mean, he's back. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, an 18-year-old woman that apparently he punched, and then you're talking to the Latvian officials being bought off and everything else. It's a crazy story.
It is. What they said was like 40,000 euros were paid off to hide this thing 10 years ago. It's just, it's so difficult to believe that this is true, though.
Yeah, the timing of it is what makes it suspicious, right, Dave? With everything that's going on with Alexei Navalny and all of that stuff, and then just Panarin coming out and saying what he said about Putin and that regime. To leak this story now, it seems awfully convenient for the Russian government.
That's crazy.
It's gross, is what it is. Let's go to Danny Long Island. Danny, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, I love the fact what we're describing this as shocking, and we forget we're dealing with the Russians. This has been going on a mass scale for about 120 years. They tried to poison and kill the journalist who started this this verbal rebellion against Putin. Making a fake story up and taking out this guy's family is nothing compared to what they've done to political adversaries in the past. I feel so bad for this young man, and I hope he can get his family out of there. Obviously, he can go back fairly safe because he's a well-known figure. They're not going to do anything with
can
this
he?
Hockey player.
But do we know that he can go back safe? I'm telling you, if I'm Artemi Panarin, I wouldn't feel good about going back to Russia now.
He's an internationally known person with a lot of media. He's got some blanket of coverage, but they would stop at nothing to keep themselves in power. These are the real enemies of the world that were correctly described as the evil empire 30 years ago. I'm not shocked about any of this. This is right out of their standard playbook. This is why they remain in power and dominate and abuse their citizenry for 50 years. These are the communists. This is why when we beat them in 1980, besides the fact that it was a miracle of a hockey team, they were the enemy. Nothing has changed in the world since then. In reality, these are people are bad people. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue that.
Don't be sorry. You don't have to be sorry about that.
Then it's hard to argue the point. I mean, if he did nothing wrong and you're coming out with the allegation and to try and, as you say, Rick, curry favor with the current regime, I mean, that's evil is what it is.
No, it's evil, but that's the threat. I mean, that's why you, I mean, if you're someone like Artemi Panarin that has, you know, family still in Russia, this is why you wouldn't say anything. Because there was a fear that something like this could happen. I mean, Dave, I could tell you so many stories about guys that, I mean, you know, American guys that have gone over, Canadian guys that have gone over and played in the KHL that would blow your mind. Craziness. No, I mean, not at this level.
The whole story is so unsettling. So this is a guy that's anti-Putin. I mean, we, as crazy as our government is and as, you know, turned off as you have been over the last four or whatever years, it's not this. We're not there. Where if you're opposed to a political figure and you come out and you say something, there's a chance of repercussions to this extent where now your family is going to be in jeopardy?
But that was always the fear. I mean, go back to, I mean, when, you know, Russian players finally made their way over to the NHL, that was the fear. That if all of a sudden they left, I mean, would they be able to go back? And what would happen to their families that they left behind? I mean, that was a real fear. And apparently, I mean, it's still something that you got to be worried about.
Well, apparently, it's an understood fear, and it was appropriate to have that fear.
Yeah, but I'm sure, I mean, the fact that the Rangers have vouched for him, I mean, the reporting is that this never happened, that the NHL will do its due diligence, investigate this, and clear it up. I'm more concerned about, you know, his family and,
yeah,
sure,
and they're standing in Russia right now.
Yeah.
That's what concerns me the most.
Well, it should concern you. It should concern you greatly. I wonder, selfishly, but you know that the people are thinking like this. I wonder how long he's going to be out for the Rangers. Well, that's a huge blow for them.
No, it is huge. It is, but I mean, this is, again, I mean, this is more important than him playing hockey right now.
Yeah, I don't know how long it takes for him to get his mind right after this. I mean, this is a lot, man. This is not the standard issues that players typically deal with.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, this is...
Poor Kyrie Irving, huh?
Right? But that's what I'm saying, though, Dave. Like, how often do you have to worry about your home country taking an adversarial position against you and fabricating stories?
Right, making an accusation that you abused a woman. Meanwhile, Kyrie Irving is, you know, we have to feel terrible for him because...
Yeah, they got him on TV every night.
A lot of eyeballs on him day in and day out.
Yeah.
It really is. He should take a step back and look at what's going on. Speaking of eyeballs on players, guys, tonight we're going to have 10% fans at Madison Square Garden. How cool is that? I mean, welcome back to the fans at the Garden tonight.
Yeah, as a player, you got to be jacked up. I mean, if you're one of the New York Knicks, all of a sudden now we're having, you know, fans in the building as well as they played. I mean, I'm excited to watch the Knicks, period, but it's only going to make it better actually having, you know, legit crowd noise as opposed to the pumped in crowd noise.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of juice in that game tonight. A lot of juice. I mean, there's only so much energy that you can bring when it's just, you know, you in the arena playing against another team. But when you have the opportunity to have fans watching you, I mean, that takes it to a whole nother level, man. I remember, like, playing in the NFL, like, having the fans in the building during the regular season, like, that was huge in terms of ratcheting up the energy and the tempo of the game as opposed to what you would have in the preseason or a scrimmage during training camp. Like, so I got to imagine that everybody on that Knicks team is going to be through the roof tonight.
Yeah, it's great. And you're going to have the fanatical Knicks fan is going to be there in multiple tests, so you have to figure that safety is of paramount importance. So here's the question for everyone out there, 800-919-3776. Would you go back? I mean, you now have the opportunity. Rick, you were saying before the show that tickets for the March 4th game are on sale and open to the public now, and there's available seats. Would you go back? So I'll pose it to you guys first, then we'll move on to the listeners and the callers, 800-919-3776. Rick and Chris, we'll start with you, Chris. Would you go back to the Garden to watch the Knicks or the Rangers or whoever?
Absolutely, Dave. I mean, all the protocols that they're putting in place to try to keep the fans and the players safe, yeah, I think I could have a lot of confidence in that, like going to those games. I mean, and it's going to be limited, right? You're talking about 10% capacity, so there's going to be plenty of room to space out and keep yourself at a safe distance. So I absolutely would go. I absolutely would go. If I had the opportunity, if I had a ticket, I'd be in the building.
I agree. I would definitely go. I mean, especially to an, you know, Islanders-Rangers game, watch the Islanders beat up on the Rangers.
Stop it.
Count me in.
I mean, just stop it. You knew that was coming,
Dave. Dave, you knew it was coming.
Yeah, it was unnecessary and unfounded. I mean, I see the way he is. He gets his blue check mark back, and now he's swinging it all over the place. Look at me, blue check mark, number one pick in the draft. I can do no wrong. My hockey team's winning 7-1. I'm coaching JV. I'm coaching varsity. Blue check mark's back. I'm surprised you even put your head on the pillow last night. You're probably so excited.
It's like getting the blue check marks back. That's like it's like taking a blue chew, Dave. I can't explain it.
No, they're done to me, by the way.
Yeah, we're done with them. We're done. Our reads were terrific. I don't understand what happened.
But Bart stole them.
And his are worse than ours almost. Oh, we would get chastised.
His are wild. I mean, you don't have to use any imagination to think what he's going with there.
There's no innuendo. Really.
No innuendo. But they chose, I mean, I see how it is. They chose Bart over us. It's fine.
That's fine. He's national now. You know,
I'm a warrior.
Right. A little extra cheese on that taco. You know how it is.
Yeah, he loves the cheese. He loves the taco.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.